Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for your time. We appreciate you listening. Today we're going to talk Wichita State basketball with Harlan Beverly. Harlan is a redshirt senior guard. He is from Detroit. He started 33 games for the Shockers last season, averaged 11.2 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 3.1 assists. Really came on strong over the last several weeks of the season, and we will talk about that. Harlan, let's get started with some background. You wear number 20. Is there a story with wearing number 20?
Yes, it is. My first time playing on like a travel team, probably I think it was 8 and under. I played for a team called Detroit Elite, and my dad actually picked the jersey number for me because he really liked Gary Payton, and he was hoping that would make me want to play defense. Because he said in the church leagues that I played as a kid, under 8, of course, he said I didn't play any defense. So I tried to put my own little spin on it because at the time, of course, I don't know much about Gary Payton, nor do I probably care. So I changed it into H2O and tried to make that like a nickname. And hopefully that made, I like to think that like it made my jumper more water, as people would say. So, yeah, it was, and it became one of my favorite numbers.
Okay, and did you play defense like the glove? That was his nickname.
Oh, not at all. Okay. Not in the slightest.
But you stuck with it, though.
Yes, I did.
Okay. C.J. McCollum, New Orleans Pelicans, your favorite athlete. Is that still correct? That's in your bio, so I'm going to double-check that.
Yeah, that was in my bio from incoming freshman. I feel like I kind of just had to give an answer. But I do really like C.J. McCollum. Probably a lot of people's first time watching him was Lehigh versus Duke. And he was by far the best player on the court. And I thought it was really cool that he just went to not as big of a school athletically. And he carried them to a win. So I was a fan since then.
Will you be watching a lot of the NBA playoffs?
Yes, I will. I actually watched the first game maybe this year that I watched last night, the Lakers versus Pelicans. Ironically, CJ was on the team. But, yeah, I'm excited for the playoffs. Hopefully LeBron can win another championship. I'm a LeBron fan.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. If CJ's not really your – CJ's someone you admire but not really your favorite, who is your favorite?
I really like LeBron. I respect his greatness and longevity. I really liked Chris Paul and Rondo growing up. I really gravitated more to point guards and their style, probably why I liked LeBron as well, because he could really pass like the point guards. So I would put those three really high up for me.
What is more impressive at this point of LeBron's career, his skill level or just the physical ability to do what he's doing at, how old is he, 39, 38? What impresses you about him at this point in his career?
The athletic ability at that age is something I feel like none of us have ever seen before. But he also does continue to improve skill-wise, which can be equally as impressive given that he's played 20 years in the NBA and he's still improving in some aspects. So they're both pretty remarkable.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a favorite sport besides basketball?
Over the past year, I've really been getting into UFC, mixed martial arts. I think it is the toughest sport to participate in. I've been a fan of UFC for probably 5 years, but just this past year, I've really been making sure I catch every card. And I play UFC, the video game a lot, and that really sparked more interest. But yeah, that has to be I enjoy watching that over basketball. It's really fun to watch.
In the Shocker locker room, what's the breakdown of sports arguments? Are there like LeBron versus Michael Jordan arguments? What goes on in the locker room when you guys start talking about sports?
A big one was that Wembanyama is a top 10 player in the NBA right now. That was a really fun one.
Victor Wembanyama, the rookie for the Spurs, like yes. 7'4" from France, had quite the rookie year, definitely.
Yes, that was a really big one. Another one is, LeBron James played with his son, Bronny James, of course. A lot of hypotheticals, not necessarily who's better than who, but just fun hypotheticals that you may never know the answer to.
Those are the best kind of arguments, yes. Absolutely. Nobody's wrong, nobody's right. Yes. You can just discuss it.
Yes.
Okay. Favorite memory from last season for the Shockers? What jumps into your mind first?
A favorite memory would be any time that a player on the team received the migraine chain that we took pictures with, whoever coach felt like was very impactful in that game, he would give the chain to. And really, those were just really fun moments. Sometimes it's obvious who's going to get it. Sometimes you don't know. And I feel like that was always a moment that we all felt really close. And I think we all really enjoyed that.
Now, I knew about the chain. That was obvious if you follow the Shockers on social media. I didn't know it was called the migraine chain. Why is it called that?
The player who gave the other team the most headaches, which was pretty fun.
Okay, makes sense. So Shockers finished up strong. They won 5 of their final 8, included a win at UAB. UAB ended up winning the American Athletic Conference Tournament. Shockers, probably the highlight of the season for a lot of the fans, American Athletic Conference Tournament win over Memphis. What changed in those last 2 or 3 weeks for the Shockers?
I think we really all just started to really understand what Coach Mills was looking for, what he wanted. I feel like we all really bought in. We understood that obviously what we were doing to that point wasn't working, and that we all need to be honest with ourselves and really come together. And I feel like we really, really came together. We were closer than ever at the end of the season, especially being a new group, which in college basketball, everybody's pretty much a new group now. But we really gelled at the end, and I was really pleased with how we finished up.
The Memphis game, where does that rank on your list of memories?
Top 3. It was a really good one.
That was good. How long were you planning, or was the team planning the callback to the photo Memphis took here? Was that in the back of everybody's minds, or was that kind of spur of the moment after the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody, nobody forgot about it. You know, when it happened, it stung. You want to get your give back, so it turned into a moment that we didn't like to something that we could laugh at. And I feel like that was really, really empowering and fun for us that we got to go back and laugh at something that didn't make us feel good.
Yeah, and for those that don't remember or weren't aware, when Memphis came to Wichita State, they won. They took a photo in the locker room, I think with a T-shirt, maybe a giveaway T-shirt. It was basically thumbs down to Wichita State. Yeah. And then when the Shockers returned the favor in the tournament in Fort Worth, they were responded with their own version of thumbs down. Okay, you played a big role in that late season surge for the Shockers. You shot 48% from the field, made 8 of your 19 threes, and averaged 14.2 points over those final 7 games. Why the good finish for Harlan Beverly?
Confidence in sports, especially basketball. I feel like confidence is a skill. Having confidence can really show how skillful someone is as well. I would just say my confidence really, really grew over the season. Coach Mills had a lot of belief in me, and that really helped me a lot. It's not easy when you're losing. You lose, you look in the mirror and ask yourself, like, what could you do better? So you're kind of being hard on yourself. And Coach Mills really challenged me at the end of the year to be a better version of myself. And I feel like I stepped up to that challenge, and I'm really grateful that he had that belief and was willing to challenge me.
Are you the kind of player who likes being challenged? Was that a good tactic by him?
With the way I played, I feel like it was a great tactic, yes.
And you said you appreciated the way he showed belief in you. Yes. Tell us a little bit more about that. How did he do that? Words, playing time, how did he get across to you?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I feel like he really harps on being close with his players. He talks to us quite often, make sure that he comes and speaks to us, says hello. I don't know if people know this, but all head coaches don't do that. They don't. Sometimes you just hop right into practice. There's never a moment where you get to, like, say hello, just check in, how you doing. And he made sure he did that. And in between those hellos, he would ask you a question. And I'm not going to say what he asked me, but he asked me a question, and I didn't know the answer to it. But I was in the ballpark. I was close. And he was like, well, good players will know that answer. So it kind of just gave me a different perspective, kind of changed my mindset a little bit, being a little more detail-oriented, and just little stuff like that. It really helps you learn and grow, and he has a really, really good way of teaching and connecting.
So when he asked you this question, was it early in the season?
No.
No, late in the season.
Yeah, probably about 8-9 games left, so right before that stretch where I feel like I played well.
Okay, so that question you thought was kind of a catalyst to get you thinking in the right direction?
Yes, and it was impactful.
Okay, when will you reveal what the question was? Would that be something senior day or?
After we win conference championship.
After you win the conference championship, all right, we'll check back on that. Where do you feel like you made your biggest improvement over the season?
I would say defensively and being aggressive on offense. We have some really good players. It's easy to kind of defer when you feel like a skill of yours is to pass the ball, which I feel like it is. So I feel like I got caught up in maybe a little overpassing sometimes instead of being aggressive and also looking for my own shot. Then defensively, I feel like I really grew just being taught and understanding the game. Like I said, he was a really good teacher. And just learning to be, like, in what spot, being in the right position, that really helped my defensive game grow.
We should probably mention you had the back injury that limited your time at Miami. Is part of this story just getting back in the groove, getting fully healthy, all of that? Was that part of your improvement as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I tried to treat last year as, at Miami, kind of just getting my feet back under me. Because after I had my surgery, they said it really takes a year to fully be healed and feeling back to your old self. And I was playing probably 5 months after the surgery, which was fine, but I could always feel a little slower, not jumping as high. So I used that year to really just get that momentum and confidence back. So this year I was able to kind of put it all together and feel back myself and healthy.
So Shocker coaches, Paul Mills, they love using statistics as a teaching tool. I think that's pretty much a daily part of the routine. Is there a number that made a big impression on you from last season? Is there something they said or something they pointed out that sticks with you?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be a little long to kind of explain.
What, give us a category. What part of the game did it involve?
Offense. Just shooting the shots that add up to winning percentages and putting the amount of points on the board that is needed to score. So they broke it down into like which shots generate a specific point per possession. And after seeing the data from college and NBA, it really showed us all like which shots will give us the best chance of winning and produce the most points. So that was really smart. It was a really good way to show us that. I feel like we all really learned in those moments, and they really harped on that really for the whole year. And I feel like it made a difference.
So a lot of these statistics that they use, the, you mentioned point per possession, are all still, I would say, new. Within the last maybe 10 years, 15 years, they've really come into more prominence there. And there are always going to be people who say, give me the eye test. I don't want to be bogged down with all these numbers. There are other people who really enjoy them as a way to supplement what they think about the game. Where do you fall? Do you enjoy kind of these in-the-weeds statistics?
Yes, but that's a great question because I feel like it's a fine line. When you're trying to win basketball games and improve players, I feel like it's really smart to show statistics and points per possession and stuff of that nature. But when evaluating players and trying to like see who can play at a specific level, I think it's very important to use the eye test, especially if you don't get to catch every single game. Maybe they're in high school and you don't have access to that amount of data or stats. So I think there is a fine line, and they can be used for different reasons, purposes, but winning basketball games, I think, is very important to use statistics and understand just what is needed to win.
Yeah, and I think most coaches would say it's got to be a combination of both. There are times to really drill down into the stats and be smart, but there's other times when you just got to kind of play and use the eye test and not get worried with those kind of things. Wichita State, by my count, there will be 8 returners, including yourself. How will that help when things get started this summer? You guys will be gearing up again, I would guess, within a few weeks. The newcomers will be filtering on into campus. So that's a pretty good number of returners, especially in this current climate of college basketball. How's that help having that base of experience?
Yeah, it's huge. We all know what to expect. We all know what Coach Mills wants. We all know what practices will look like. So nothing will really catch us by surprise necessarily. We'll all still be challenged, though, but we understand what is expected and what is needed to win, to improve every day. So I think it would really just even help, like, the newcomers kind of get them acclimated maybe quicker than we did. And having 8 players back in this climate is really, really good.
What would be your first piece of advice to some of the newcomers? How do they go about getting acclimated to Paul Mills basketball program?
Yeah, take it one day at a time. Listen. Everybody here is going to be honest with you. It's not we're not working against you. We are working towards the same goal. So hopefully they take that message properly.
What's your advice to a high school, say, junior who's just getting maybe started in the recruiting process? He's starting to, you know, he's that talented. He's starting to get some contact, whatever. What's your advice? What should a high school junior be looking for in a college basketball program?
The first piece of advice I would give is to be respectful and build great relationships with every single one of these coaches to the best you can. You never know where college coach might end up coaching. He could end up being your coach, like Paul Mills was for me. And then second, really take your time, understand what you're looking for, and ask the players that are there questions. Don't be afraid to speak or be shy. You should really, really ask questions.
Are different things important to you now that you've been through 4 or 5 years of college than they were when you were being recruited?
I wouldn't say so. I feel like I've been a relationship person for most of my life, and that was really huge for me. I do feel like I understand how to dissect like a coach's play style better. You know, like when I was in high school, I was told, like, don't go to a specific conference because they're not big on offense or stuff of that nature, which might not even be true. It could just be some notion that somebody's put in your head because that's what they think. And I feel like now I would be able to make that own type of thought and come to a conclusion for myself, which just comes with watching and playing more basketball.
And you had a relationship with Paul Mills, right? Am I remembering that correct? That's how you ended up here? He had recruited you previously?
Yeah, he recruited me for a little bit. But he was my first official, like, scholarship offer, which was really nice. I don't feel like many players forget their first one. And that's something that stuck out. And then he had a great run at ORU, which I feel like everybody kind of took notice of.
Okay, you've been very patient sitting through all the basketball talk. We'll get to the movies, which I know is your favorite hobby. What's your favorite movie?
That's really, really tough. I like time movies. I like psychological thrillers. So the first one that kind of comes to mind is Looper. That's a really good one. I like The Dark Knight. That's always a really easy one. I also don't like to just watch super critically acclaimed movies as well. I watch Drumline with Nick Cannon almost every night growing up. You know, on the DVD players I put it in. It was only one of the few DVDs I had. That's always just like a feel-good movie. I would put those three in there. Drumline does not deserve to be in the same conversation as those other two, but it's really, really fun.
Is there a teammate that you can discuss movies with?
Yeah, we can. We've only really discussed Marvel movies, which I love as well. But yeah, we talk a lot of superhero movies. But that's pretty much it.
Do you have a go-to movie snack when you go to the theater? Is there something you always have to get?
Icy for sure, the Coke one. I don't know what they put in like the drink. Coke, but it's addicting. It's really good. I really enjoy Coke.
Popcorn? I've got to have Junior Mints in my popcorn. Do you get popcorn?
No, I'm not really much of a popcorn guy unless they have the kettle corn salt that you can put on it, which it sucks because you put the kettle corn on the top, and then as you eat, you eat the ones that have. So you kind of have to go back and refill it back up, but I kind of stay away from the popcorn. I took Popeyes into a movie one time before. That was pretty good. I like the little Reese's Pieces is probably the one that is my go-to because AMC sells them.
Sure. That's a good one. All right, you are a big Christopher Nolan fan. You mentioned The Dark Knight. Very famous director. What's your favorite Christopher Nolan movie?
Interstellar is such an easy one to do. I would say that Dark Knight, I remember going to the movies to see it, so that was a really good experience. Oppenheimer was good. It's really hard to choose because they're all kind of different. They all add a different level of thought-provoking feelings, and they're all really good. It's hard to choose, but I would say Inception, Interstellar, and The Dark Knight are the top three for me.
Top three. For someone who's maybe not familiar with his work, describe his directing style. What makes him a favorite of yours?
It's not really a passive watch. You're more so actively watching the movie, feeling connected with the characters, with the themes, the stories. They're also just very, very fun stories. The plots aren't very simple, and I like the ones that are sci-fi as well that make you do a little research after the movie's over. Yeah, it's always fun.
So I really enjoyed Oppenheimer. I was very glad I saw it on the big screen. I thought it was a movie that needed to be seen in that format. Do you feel strongly about there are certain movies you need to see them in the theater as opposed to on your TV?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know Interstellar is coming out, I want to say, September 27th. They're doing a re-release in theaters on the 10-year anniversary the movie came out, I think it is. And I didn't get to see it in theaters, and that is one that I absolutely think that you need to see it, and I'm going to go see it in theaters for sure.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. Is there a Christopher Nolan movie you're not big on, one you didn't enjoy?
Tenet. I watched it probably 4 or 5 times too, just to continue to try to understand what was going on. and watched YouTube videos and everything to try to understand what I just watched. It had some good action in it. It just really wasn't one of my favorites. It wasn't bad. I went to the movies to see that as well. It didn't stick out to me as some of the other ones did.
Okay, we gave it a fair shot if you saw it 4 or 5 times. Okay, these are questions my son-in-law, Brendan Stewart, podcaster, movie buff. He knows lots more about this than I do, so these are his questions. Did the top keep spinning? Oh. Okay, that means something to you. I think it means something to movie people. Did the top keep spinning? Explain the significance of the top.
Did the top keep spinning? You know, to me, it looked a little wobbly. Whenever the little spinny top would start getting a little wobbly, I think it's going to fall. So I think it was eventually going to fall. But, you know, nobody ever knows. That's one of those fun questions that you could ask because there's no right or wrong answer. But I do think it was going to fall. It looked a little wobbly. That is a very fun question.
And that was at the end of Inception.
Yes.
Okay, so that would be a big question. If you're a Christopher Nolan fan,
yes.
You would want to know the answer to that.
That's great.
From Interstellar, would you want to go into space to investigate the wormhole?
Absolutely not. I'm terrified of space. Movies are really fun about space, but I don't think I would go into a spaceship or a space rocket. Nothing. I don't. My fear is like getting back. I would want to go and see, but I don't think I understand enough about the GPS systems and how they get back to the exact spot that it freaks me out. I'm okay.
Okay, then you're probably also out on visiting the water planet. Would that be right?
Absolutely no. That was one of those moments in the movie you get like chills and your heart start beating fast. I'm perfectly fine on skipping out on the water planet.
Okay. Favorite basketball movie? I've got one written down here that I hope you will mention. It's a documentary, not a movie. But what's your favorite basketball film?
My favorite basketball film. I would say we can count documentaries.
Sure.
More Than a Game, LeBron James.
Okay.
It was just really cool to watch the high school transformation. I was born 01, so I didn't get to experience the LeBron hype when he was in high school and getting drafted. I probably remember him from 5 years old, which he was already well in his career. So that was really fun for me to watch. And then The Last Dance was really good because I didn't get to experience Michael Jordan at all. But like, if we're doing like fiction, Air Bud is fun. I don't know, basketball movie. It's hard to make a good basketball movie. I don't feel like it's many of them.
Do you find that, because you are a basketball player, just the any kind of inaccuracy or it just bugs you when you see something like that?
I don't think I look too deep into it. Like Mike was always a good, fun one growing up. Because I feel like you can relate to the characters in Like Mike. You have your shoes. I used to cut socks up and put them on my arms as basketball sleeves, like Allen Iverson. So I feel like those are really, really good movies too, both of them. There's two of them.
Have you seen Hoop Dreams?
One of my coaches at Miami made us all go to his house and sit down and watch it as a team. It was too long. It was very long, but it was good. It was really good. It was very well put together, but it was a very long movie. And I think the circumstance maybe changed how I think about the movie, just because we're at our coach's house for a long time. Nobody really wants to be at coach's house for 5 hours of a weekend. So we all, love the coaches, but you get a weekend off. You want to go watch whatever you want to watch.
Yeah. Sure. Maybe it's one you could revisit.
Yeah. I might have to revisit.
Hoop Dreams, really good documentary. All right. Harlan Beverly, senior guard for the Shockers. He has been gracious with his time, talking movies, talking basketball. Harlan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
It's over! It is over! Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.